that are up here tonight. And I know his desire to serve us, to serve the Lord. And I know he would appreciate your prayers tonight. Our brother Apostle Frank Phan.
Thank you, Brother Beck. Our brother Bruce is trying to learn a little bit of Cebuano. Mayo gabi. Mayo gabi. Good evening. Very good. See how fast he picks that up? Well, what should we talk about this evening? There's many, many, many things that you and I should talk about. Maybe I should allow you to tell me what should we talk about tonight. I got a question, though, for you I want you to think about. When you got up this morning, and you were shaving or putting on your makeup, and you were looking in the mirror, what did you see? What did you see? Someone might say, well, I seen a handsome man. Or I seen a beautiful woman. But the Book of Mormon says, we should see the image of Christ when we look in that mirror. Did you see that this morning? I'm going to guess you did not. I didn't. And the question is, why? But did we not see that image of Christ staring back at us? You know, in 1 Corinthians 121 says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I look at the scriptures and I find, you know, what's my job? What is my responsibility? Told I should exhort, I should expound, I should declare the doctrine of Christ, I should warn. And that puts a big responsibility upon me. And a big responsibility upon all of the ministry here this evening. And I fear maybe that you and I may be falling short of our jobs, our duties. And I reach that conclusion by looking out tonight. I see very few here today. Oh, I see the faithful followers. I see those who would be here in spite of anything. But what I want to know is, even though we, the ministry, have a great responsibility to do all these things, what responsibility lies with you? Are you free and clear? If someone drifts away, someone quits coming to church, and it's happened to me and maybe the rest of the ministry, someone will say to me, Brother Frank, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? The scriptures tell me that if I have done my job as laid out within the scriptures, then that responsibility belongs to someone else. But if I have failed to do that in any way, then their blood lies on my head. That's a terrible thing. Luke 2:13-14 states that even the angels in heaven worship God. Even the angels of heaven, who are so much above you and I, and I think this is where dedication first comes into play. Each one of us, whether we have a job in the ministry or a lay member, has a responsibility. And we have lost some of our dedication. We have allowed the world to come in, to stand between us and God. God didn't allow that. He didn't let that happen. It was caused by you and I. Each one of us has a responsibility. We made a great commitment when we went into the waters of baptism. And that commitment was to follow Jesus Christ. And we might say unto ourselves, we're doing it. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I attend church on Sunday morning. Brother and sister, that is not all there is to it. We have to dedicate ourselves to putting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first in our lives. It's obvious to me, and I hope it's obvious to you too, that you and I have fallen short of that commitment that we made when we went into the waters of baptism. Oh, we felt so good then. We felt so energized then. We were ready to conquer the world. Yes, I know that life gets in the way. And that's what's happened to you and I. Living has gotten in the way. Making a living, earning our money, raising a family with all the responsibilities that come with that job. And the troubles that come upon each one of us daily. We all suffer problems. We all suffer troubles. And all these things tend to erode the dedication and commitment that we had for Jesus Christ when we first went into the waters of baptism. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Fourth chapter, verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. This is God telling Peter, you know, these troubles are going to come to you. And they're no different troubles than in the world. But the test to you and I, the test to our dedication and the test to our commitment is how do we handle those trials and troubles? Do we let them get us down? Or do we get down on our knees and turn them over to God, doing all that we can to solve them? Having a faith in Jesus Christ that He will be victorious in our lives. But rejoice, it says in the 13th verse. Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. And we may fall short here. Christ suffered so many years ago. It's hard for you and I to connect through that much time and space. It's hard for you and I to say, He died for me. And truly feel it and believe it. That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And that's why we need that commitment and that dedication. To be able to overcome and endure those trials and tribulations that come upon mankind. Knowing that in the end, we will glory with our God. We will glory with Jesus Christ. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. How many times has that happened to you and I? You know, I got to confess. It's happened to me. Brother, what church do you belong to? Well, I belong to the Church of Christ. Well, what are your beliefs? And I find myself, and maybe you do too, with a little reluctance to bear that testimony that you and I have of Christ. We're a little embarrassed. Yeah, where are the people with that book? But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. He's almost talking about a perfect person here, isn't he? And yet Peter's telling us through the inspiration of God that this is the way you and I to be. And if we are truly dedicated to God, we'll do this. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And where is that house? You're right, it's here, ain't it? This is the house of God. It says here that judgment's going to start here. That tells me that you and I need to rededicate ourselves, so that when that judgment comes upon this house, you and I will stand. Stand because we have put Jesus Christ first in our lives. Stand because we have not let the world interfere with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if it must first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of Christ? It tells me here that, you know, these people in the house of God that judgment's going to begin at, they obey. But something is lacking, isn't it? Or why would judgment begin there? Because they're not dedicated or motivated enough to put God first in their lives. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of themselves to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. It's not easy for us to be fully dedicated. For we have an enemy. And that enemy is trying to destroy our souls. The devil is with us to try to distract us with the good things of the world. And these good things of the world seem so important to you and I. The devil puts into our minds, this is okay to do this. You know, I can miss this Sunday. And maybe you can. And maybe it won't hurt us at all. But what happens is when the devil starts, He entwines us until it becomes a pattern. And then he goes one step forward. He gives us the excuses we need to use. You know, he not only gives us the opportunity, not only does he encourage us, but he also gives us the excuses. And brothers and sisters, every one of you sitting here tonight, know when the devil is giving you an excuse. He says, this is why it's okay to forget your God just a little bit. Just for a little while. The Book of Mormon says that the temptations of the devil blindeth the eyes and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men and leadeth them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. This is what he tries to do to you and I. And I fear that he's been somewhat successful. Somewhat successful. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. In Matthew, seventh chapter, starting with verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever we would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Strait gate. It's not a wide path. There's not multiple entrances. It's a straight path. A path that leads you and I to salvation. And I sometimes worry that we have forgotten the purpose of this Church of Christ. The purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That purpose is to bring men to salvation. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. We're a small group. We're a small group. But the devil is waging war against this small group, and he is cutting inroads into us. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There are those that would like to destroy us. There are those that talk a good battle, that say all the right words, but make it sound so good to you and I. But we must beware lest we fall into that pit and the devil snare us. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You know, this isn't the only way that we judge false prophets. We can judge ourselves by this same standard, can we not? What fruit are you and I bringing to Jesus Christ? What fruit have we got for the Master? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's what happens when the judgment starts at God's house. He will weed out those who are false prophets. He will weed out those who lead not the people to Jesus Christ. He will weed out those who preach not repentance and salvation. So we must rededicate ourselves to God. And one of the ways is for us to submit. And that's hard for you and I. The will of man is strong. I can do it. I know best. I'm never wrong. I always interpret the scriptures correctly. Never wrong. No room. If we submit ourselves to God and let His Spirit flow into us and take over our body and soul, we will know. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, not the devil, not the world, not your family, not your friends. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, for He is the only one that can save you. Only one that can bring salvation to you. Romans 10:3 says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We kind of fall into that category from time to time. That we decide for ourselves what is righteous. We decide for ourselves, how should I please God? But the only way that you and I will know the truth is to submit. Holy, holding back nothing. In the book of James, 4th chapter, 7th verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to resist him. We can't allow ourselves to be drawn in by his wiles, by him making things look good to the human eye. And brothers and sisters, he can do this. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, you make the first move. Become part of him. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, I'm sorry, and he shall lift you up. And that's what we do when we submit to him. We humble ourselves before him. We say, your will, God, in my life, I will accept. I will obey you. I will do what you want me to do. We need to purify ourselves. We need to put away the worldly ways. Put away the hate. Put away the envy. Put away the things of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, all the things of the flesh are not bad. But it is a matter of putting God first. And finding out what his will is concerning you. And I might ask tonight, do you know what God's will is concerning you? Have you got down on your knees and had a heart-to-heart conversation with God? Well, probably have. But were you wanting confirmation of what you already thought? Get down on my knees and I say, God, I think it's your will that I go to Hawaii, open a mission there. And then I convince myself that God told me that. Not too bad, is it? Not the way it works, brothers and sisters. When you and I get down on our knees in prayer, we need to cleanse our mind. We need to purify our thoughts. Open ourselves for those things that God has for us. And if we ask, in faith believing, I can assure you that he will reveal unto you his will for you. My dear brother Steve always says, you know, God's got a plan for everyone. And I believe he has a plan for each one of you. It is his desire that each one of us be saved within his kingdom. That each one of us sit on his right hand. There is no greater reward. We might, like some other churches, do things to fill these pews. But if not one more soul come unto God, it would be for naught. In 1 John, the third chapter, starting with verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Listen to the next verse. It's important to you and I. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Oh, it's kind of a telling thing, isn't it? I'm afraid I sin. So I am not truly abiding in him. I imagine you sin. So you're not yet truly abiding in him because you haven't dedicated yourself, because you haven't motivated yourself, because you haven't submitted yourself. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Do we do righteousness all the time? Is righteousness in our daily lives? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the only way that the works of the devil will be destroyed in your not in you and my life is for us to be part of Jesus Christ. Committed to him. So I guess the question is, how do we go about rededicating ourselves to God? Is there some steps we can take? I think the first one is love our God. Love our God with all our might, mind, and strength. I mean, truly love him. But we don't see him daily. We don't talk with him. Interact with him on a daily basis. As we do each other. So for the human, it's easier to love each other than it is to love God. But in our rededication, we need to love God. Love your neighbors as yourself. It's not only the household of faith. Scriptures tell us it's pretty easy to love those within the household of faith. But those who have used you, those who have abused you, those who have done you wrong, can we love them? A little harder, isn't it? The human mind comes into play. The feel for revenge comes into play. Be diligent in looking after the things of God. In 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And at that time, it will be too late for us to rededicate ourselves. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. Be joyful. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, the scriptures say. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And you and I have no reason to have sorrow. For we have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have access to eternal life. We have the keys within our hand. Use them. Continually seek God. All the time. We can't afford to forget one minute who we serve. We can't afford to forget for one minute our goal. Salvation. Eternal life. Study to show thyself approved. And when I was working up a sermon the other day. I remembered a sign that I seen on a church. Gosh, 10 years ago, I know. Maybe longer. Better come back. And it said, only the things done for Christ last. What a true statement. Only the things done for Christ last. So you and I, in our rededication, let's make sure that we do those things for Jesus Christ. You're troubled and worried. You don't know what to do. So you seek God in prayer, and He listens to you. But you seldom pause to let God speak. You just want the answer that you desperately seek. And you really miss the best part of prayer, which is feeling and knowing God's presence is there. So pause for a while and just silently wait to give God a chance to communicate. For two-way prayer forms a joyous relation. When we listen to God in shared meditation. Thank you very much for your kind attention.